Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 2, verses 14 onwards. If you're using church Bible, it's in page 1214. James chapter 2, verse 14 onwards. What good it is, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good it is? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So that's God's word to us this morning. Faith without deed is dead. So this passage which we read today is considered to be one of the controversial passages over the period of time. There were lots of people who had huge issues with this whole book of James and the particular passage we read as well. One such notable person was Martin Luther. He had huge issues with the passage, big time. So he calls James a right strawy epistle, because he was so insistent on justification by grace through faith in Christ alone that he had trouble reconciling these truths. So he didn't have that for a long time, but there was a period when he particularly was very much against the whole James. He even called for James to be taken out of the Bible. So it's not unusual that we still have people who debate about the whole issue. But I think if we look at passages in the context of what it is said and what the author writes in, then it all starts to make sense. And I think this morning we're going to look at the context from where this comes, and we'll also look to see whether James does contradict Paul and Jesus in the teaching. Someone remarked that faith is like calories. You can't see them, but you can always notice their results. So the whole theme of the James letter it talks about is results. Faith produces work. And nowhere else passionately, nowhere in the Bible is this theme particularly argued than in James. So we see Paul in Romans, 2 Timothy, Ephesians and Titus. Paul says, man is justified by faith alone and not by works of righteousness. So there, when Paul speaks about that passage, he talks about the root of salvation. He does not talk about what happens after salvation, which is what James talks about. He speaks about what happens at the time of salvation. And Paul clearly says that all you need at that time is faith and nothing else. Because sadly, if you look at the religions around, all the religions speak about deeds and how we can use those deeds to earn our salvation. And Christianity is the only religion where it says you can't work out your salvation. It is free, which God had done for us, and we are justified and saved and through the faith of Jesus, the one and only God, who died for us on the cross of Calvary and lives evermore, that we have faith in God. So I think this is something which is basic and we need to grasp hold of. And I think as Christians, we shouldn't let anyone else confuse us that faith is only through Jesus and nothing else. We can't work our faith and salvation through. But Paul invariably looks at life from God's perspective, and hence Paul is instructing, saying that man is justified by faith alone. So when you look at the context with which he says, he speaks to most of the non-believers in the churches. So what is James saying here? James says that man is justified by works. He talks about what is expected after we are saved. Christian journey continues after being saved. So as much as faith is important, that is not the end of it. I think what happens with Christian life is like we like to be saved, and that is it. And then we don't carry on doing deeds which James calls us to do. So therefore, we are justified by faith. That is, we are made righteous in the eyes of God by faith, and it's aptly demonstrated in Romans. However, that faith, if it is true, will result in deeds of appropriate to salvation. Have you ever seen Christians who profess to be believers in Christ, but the way they live seems to suggest otherwise? James' argument is that if you believe in Jesus, then you behave like Jesus. We are saved by faith alone, not the faith that saves is not alone. That kind of faith produces good works and fruit. The fruit of the Spirit should be evident in our lives. Faith should urge us to change in how we live and what we do. So once there was a town, the whole residents of the town were all ducks. So every Sunday, what these ducks would do is like they waddle out of their houses, waddle down the main street to the church. They waddle into the sanctuary, they all sit orderly in their pews. The duck choir waddles in, they sing their song, and then we have the duck minister who comes in and he reads the word. So he reads, "Ducks, God has given you wings. With wings you can fly, with wings you can mount up and soar like eagles. No walls can confine you, no fences can hold you. You have wings. God's given you wings and you can fly like birds." And then as he finishes, all these ducks shout amen. And then what do? They walk back home, waddling down the street, back to their homes, without flying. Sadly, this is what is happening in Christian church to believers as well. We are so set in our ways that we are not liberated or transformed. Sunday by Sunday we hear sermons. It sometimes helps us to pat ourselves on our back, or something happens within us and we think, oh, maybe I should change. But real change does not happen. James says if your faith does not produce deed or changes you, then your faith is dead. What kind of faith do we have this morning? There are lots of verses in the Bible which says the importance of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please God." Ephesians 2:8 says the Christian is saved by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says the Christian is to walk and live by faith. And Romans 14:23 says, "Whatever we do apart from faith is described as sin." So the passage which we read here, James talks about different kinds of faith, and we look at them one by one. Warren Wiersbe, one of the commentators, he says, "No man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same, any more than he came into contact with a 220-volt wire and remains the same. People claim to be Christians, but say faith is a private thing." I think that's something we all do. We love to love the Lord. We all know that we've got faith in God. But when it comes to sharing, we think it's very personal. And maybe I shouldn't share it because it would affect and cause hurt to the others. Hence, we do not display godly character lest people suddenly find out who we are. But genuine faith leads to results and works. If your life is saved, does it show in its work? See, that's something I want us to ponder through this morning. Is would your colleagues, would other members in your family, be it friends, what would they see in you? Because they might know that you are saved, you have faith, but do they realize that you have deeds? And if they know that, then their life should be transformed as well. So James talks about three types of faith. One he talks about is a dead faith. Then the second thing he talks about is demonic faith. And the third thing he talks about is demonstrative faith. And we look at them one by one. Verses 14 to 16, James talks about dead faith. What good it is, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you say to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical need, what good it is? James clearly here states that our faith is not merely saying nice things. We could witness verbally, but if our life does not match with what we say, then our faith is dead. We are called to action. As children of God, we are called to action. We are called to do things rather than just be people who pronounce and proclaim. Proclamation is necessary. I'm not saying you shouldn't proclaim things, but it should be followed up with action. Faith does not care for people. Faith that only talks but does not act. James calls us not to be indifferent, but to be involved and invested in the life of people. These people have need, and we have a world out there which is full of need. But if nothing is given to help them, then it begs the question. There is a lot to talk about, but there is no work of compassion. 1 John 3, 16-18 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. So if we see somebody in need and we have no pity on them, how can the love of God be on us? If you see a need in a church, you see a need in your neighborhood, and you know you could help, but if you don't do that, then your faith is dead. It might sound quite harsh to hear, but that's God's word for us. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. James 4:17 says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Okay, so doing what we need to do but we don't do is considered to be sin. When someone at work or your family are in need and you just say, I will pray. I think it's good that we pray for people. But what happens sometimes is we say, oh, we'll pray for you. We don't pray for them, but we don't walk with them as well in the time of need. If that is what we do, then our faith is dead. On your way to see someone, on your way you see someone needy and you're able to help, but you don't help, then your faith is dead. You could give 101 reasons for why you didn't stop and why you didn't help, and I could give 101 reasons. The Word of God says that your faith is dead. Are we good at talking and not walking with them in their time of need? Do we provide for the needy? In church, there is so much of need right from the front. A lot of things have been advertised, and in the whole of this year, we've been through different ministry teams and saying that there is need, this is what we do. But do we respond? We're quick to comment when things are not right, and we say, oh, this should be done like this, or that is not right, this shouldn't be there. If God is saying that to you, is not God prompting you to act? Faith without deed is dead. Is your faith this morning dead? How long will we continue to be consumers? We are here called to be part of the body and work together equally. Not just the selected few who carry on working and doing things. We could give excuses saying, maybe I haven't got the capability to do it. I don't think I can do this. But if you speak to people who do it, they will say that they do it through the grace of God. But God looks at our availability rather than our ability. God is calling us this morning to search our hearts. Faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. The second kind of faith which James talks about is the demonic faith. So we read in verses 18 and 19, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So through the Bible, we can read through lots of instances like Mark 1:31, Jesus, when he healed the various sick people, he drove out the demons and he asked them not to speak because they knew who he was. Luke 4:33-34, in the synagogue where a man was possessed with demon, when the impure spirit came out, it says, go away, what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. So we sometimes think of demons as atheists. They are better than us. They know who our God is. Sometimes they even acknowledge God's power than we do. Faith is generally not belief. Faith that exists only in intellect is in saving faith. And the faith is similar to demons. So what's the difference? The difference is that we should show it out by our actions and deeds. The fruit needs to be evident. If it is not the case, then it becomes a useless faith and it is only intellectual. So we know God is good. We know God wants us to do things, but if it just stays there, but if it doesn't come down here and then leads us into action, then that faith is useless, and it could be equal to demonic faith because they know who God is and we know who God is as well. But if there is no deed, then we need to think carefully. Is our faith like this? Is it that you know everything about God? You could quote from page to page in the Bible, but without believing truly who God is and showing it in your action. This morning I'd urge you to taste and see who God is, the true God who died for you and me. If he didn't have compassion for you and me and he didn't go on the cross, our faith would be meaningless. Because I sense there's somebody here this morning who knows a lot about God, but you're still questioning, not wanting to take the step. If it is you, I'd urge you that you'd speak to somebody before you go. God's got something to do through you. The third faith is demonstrative faith, which we read through the rest of the passage. Faith without deed is meaningless and useless. The New Testament command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Love thy neighbor as thyself. The key in that is love. Love is not independent, but it works in partnership. Faith and works go together, and you cannot have one without the other. Once there was a boatsman who wrote faith, and in the other one he wrote deed. So he said, let me use them one by one and see what happens. So he had to go across the stream to the other side of the land. So he used the one which said faith. So he just used the oar and he thought, okay, maybe I need to do it even more harder. So he used both his hands and started to steer it. What he realized was the boat started to swerve and go back to where it started. Then he said, okay, maybe this oar isn't good enough. So he then thought, okay, let me just take the deeds over and maybe I'll do it. So he decided he'll do it on the other side. Maybe the side he did it, which didn't help. So he then steered it on that side. What happened is the boat swerved back again to the same thing. So that's when he realized that you need both to work together. And likewise, in our Christian walk, we need both of it to move forwards and to lead people. So we need to show things through our action. As James closes in this chapter, he addresses that those who are complacent about their faith, and he speaks about them. If you are very loud, but what you say you believe, and yet there is no action to back it up, then he basically says that we are like corpse, a body without life. Saving faith proves that it is alive by its deeds, but faith has no deeds, is dead. Faith sometimes is like the wind, that we cannot see it, but we can see the effect of God leading us. In this passage, we learn about two people, Abraham and Rahab. Both are completely two contrasting characters, but we can see that by their actions and not by their faith alone, they were justified. Genuine faith must bring works of obedience. This morning, what is God saying to you? What does God want you to do? Let's be mindful and prayerful about that. James 2:23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Here, this verse sums up basically Genesis 15 to 20, to the passages which we clearly know. Justification in the sight of God eventually led to justification in the sight of men. And he was called the friend of God. Who do you think called him that? The servants of Abraham and the people who lived near Abraham have heard that God had spoken to him, and he'd heard how Abraham had promised to follow God and obey him completely. And so they must have watched him closely for how his life was. Likewise, when we became a Christian and when we shared it with our family, when we shared it with our friends and co-workers, they've been watching us as well, like Abraham's servants and the others were watching. So they continued to watch him and watch him for many years. Sometimes he seemed righteous. Sometimes the things he did is not as good as it could have been. But all along, Abraham was claiming that he had been declared righteous in the words saved by God. Many people who witnessed in his life would have thought, maybe, maybe not. But then something happened. God asked Abraham to take his one and only son to be sacrificed. The son he waited for a very, very long time. The promised one through which all the generations will be built. And God said, I need him. I want him to be sacrificed. Abraham didn't question God. He didn't wait around and he didn't want to while his time. Next morning he woke up, the word says, and then he went. He did not ask God a question as to, God, you said that this will be your chosen son, but why do you want him? He obeyed, and he obeyed quickly. As a result of that, God stopped Abraham before he took his life. And the news started to spread along, and the people said that this man is God's friend. Do you want to be known as God's friend? Do people in your family, do your co-workers, do people around you see you as God's friend? We would have been justified by faith. We would have been called, and we can call ourselves as children of God, being saved. But are we known as friend of God? John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do what I command. We have been saved by faith alone in Christ. We are headed to heaven. We are children of God. There's no doubt about that. But faith in Christ alone does not make you friend of God. Abraham did what God commanded, and he was called God's friend. This morning, are we obeying God? Faith and obedience are two sides of a coin. Faith without obedience is dead. The second example of Rahab was a prostitute compared to Abraham, who was a godly man. And she was considered righteous by the deeds she did to the spies. Verse 25 says, likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? So Abraham was a man, Rahab was a woman. Abraham was the father of Israel, Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham lived a pretty good life, but Rahab was a prostitute. But James says that even Rahab was justified by her works when she received the message from the messengers and sent them another way. For the two Israelite spies showed up in Jericho and stayed with Rahab, and probably that was probably one of the times when she first heard about God and that God was going to destroy Jericho and give them a promised land to Israel. Rahab believed God and she was justified in the sight of God, but then she had to do the action as well. And this is what she did, so she was justified by her work in the sight of men. She acted in faith because she knew if she does that, there are consequences for that as well. And so do we have consequences when we need to obey God, when we need to follow what God says to do in our lives, when we need to witness, there are consequences. But she was willing to put her life in the line. We see in Matthew 1:5, Rahab was further blessed by God to become a part of a messianic line. If Rahab said at that time, I don't know this God, I don't want to save you, she would not have had such a privilege to be part of the genealogy of God. Both Abraham and Rahab are listed in Hebrews 11 in the Hall of Faith. After we die and move off, would we be listed in the Hall of Faith? James 2:26 says, for as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Just as the spirit energizes and makes the body useful, so works energizes faith. When we stand before Christ at the throne, the question will be, was your faith profitable or was your faith dead? Just as we need both hands to clap, salvation needs faith and works. You can't take one and still expect to make a noise. Works are not the root of salvation, but fruit is the root of salvation. If you look at Good Samaritan, he saw the man in need and he acted, unlike the others who just gone before him. Does your life show that you are saved? Is the fruit of the Spirit evident in you? When the plant is dead, there are no flowers, there's no fruits, there's nothing in there. But when the plant is alive and healthy, it produces something. Our faith is like a plant as well. Faith, truly alive, produces something. Real, impacting, effectual faith will have results. It will be lived out. Say if I buy a Coke from the shop, when I pour it in a glass, I would expect Coke to flow through it. If few feathers come from there, then I know that the label and the content do not match. The same is with faith. The world is watching us, and faith is given and received by Christ's work of grace alone. This morning, I hope the Holy Spirit will help you to see your life as a ministry wherever you are. We don't have to go to a ministry field to do it. If God calls you, God takes you there, that is His calling and you have to obey it. But wherever you are, at home, at work, your neighborhood, be it young or old, at school, university, or at workplace, or wherever you are, God wants you to demonstrate His faith. There's a world out there which is heading to destruction, and they are moving towards a lost eternity. And if we still keep saying, my faith is personal, then we need to think big times. Does His love not urge you to go out there and share the good news? 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. Because there's consequences. There's life at stake. I remember in my early days of university, while I was traveling back from uni back home. So we were four or five of us together having a great time in the train. Then I saw one of my friends. I've never spoken to him in uni. I saw him sad sitting there, and God said, you need to go and speak to him. And I said, God, I've never spoken to him. I don't want to particularly speak to him now in the train. What am I going to do with him? God said, you have to speak. So very hesitantly, I moved over to him and started talking to him. So one thing led to the other, and we had 20 minutes in that train, and during that time, God helped me to lead him to the Lord. So as we got out and we were walking to the buses, which we need to catch, he showed me a bottle in his hand and he said, I was going to take my life today. So there's consequences. If we are not obedient to His prompting, God might put few people before you, but do you have the burden for the lost? Matthew 7:16 says, every tree bears fruit and it is known by it. You and me will be recognized by the fruit that we bear rather than who we say we are. And the only way to bear fruit is John 15:4, abide in me and bear fruit. The fruit, by your fruit, you will prove to be His disciples. So the passage we read, faith without work is dead, is mentioned 5 times. So this morning, is your faith dead? Meaning you just speak about it, but there is no deed, but you don't walk with the needy. Is your faith demonic? Do you just know in your mind about God, but it doesn't lead you into your heart to act? Or is your faith demonstrative? Is there fruit in your life? Your relationship with God should have a change in the way you lead your life, your actions, your reactions, how you conduct yourself. What is in my thought, what comes out of my mouth, and how I treat others. All of that matters. Let's pray. This morning, let's think and evaluate. I want us to carefully consider a few questions. Are you different from who you were before you were saved? Let's be honest about it. Have you changed? Is your life producing fruit? If we cannot say yes to this, God calls us to recommit our lives to Him this morning so that He can help you. Because there's huge things at stake. There's a huge community out there which God has given us. And we can't call ourselves a community church and not influence them by our deeds. We could do 101 programs, but it may not make a huge impact. But how we live our lives and what we do can make a big difference. Like always, there's 2 ways to respond. One is you can think, oh, that was hard, tough going. And just you can walk out and live your life as you always did. Or you could say, Holy Spirit, I want you to fill me. I need more of you this morning. I need a fresh touch and your filling so that my life will be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and life has and God has really touched and transformed you, you'll never be the same. You can never, ever be the same. It will show out in your deeds.